Now, at the start of the show, we heard from Hugh Rose, who is mad keen on helping to get a banana industry going in New Zealand. He says that we could be self-sufficient in them in a decade or sooner, and that conservatively, growers would earn $30,000 a hectare. The couple who inspired Hugh are South Africans, Owen and Linda Shafley. Linda was a teacher and Owen an orchardist on a property halfway between Durban and Cape Town. He grew citrus, bananas, pawpaws, pineapples, chirimoya, mangoes and avocados. They moved to New Zealand a decade ago and now live out towards the Whangarei Heads in Northland.
We've got two boys, so we decided, well, you know, to give them the best future, we decided to come to New Zealand. And they finished their schooling here. They'd now gone off on their own. And we started off in Hamilton for 2 years and then realised that with the type of farming that we've been doing, that we needed to get up further north where it was warmer, so it was more conducive to the type of farming we wanted to go into. And that's why we ended up leaving Hamilton and coming up here. We just sort of came out at one weekend, had a look around, decided this is the place for us. And I got a job and we saw this farm and bought it. It was one of those roll your sleeves up type of farms with nothing. It was just bush, you know, and we had to start basically from scratch as like a pioneer. And yeah, so that's how it all started. And when we moved up here, it was probably, I think we moved on the farm about 7 years ago. And slowly Owen's been clearing bush. You'll see as you go up there, there's bush cleared and he started planting the bananas in there and realising this is the era for bananas and that we can provide bananas for New Zealand. And you know, our whole idea is that we provide spray-free bananas to New Zealand and you know, teach people that they can grow them and we don't have to import them at all. So that's basically what we're at the moment.
Right. And how was it changing from South Africa to here?
Yeah, it was tough in the beginning because it, but fortunately my wife Linda was working, but I had to start basically from scratch and I was fortunate to have somebody to help in that line, and now the farm's slowly starting to pay for itself, so we'll be going forward from now on. But the first 2 years, we actually ended up sorting the house out because it was only about 50% completed. Did a lot of painting and renovations. It was one of those old villas that was put onto the property and needed lots of work. So we had to do all the plumbing and the power and whatever. Yeah. So it took 2 years to get there, and then from there on I could do a bit of farming, yeah.
And a bit of farming meant planting bananas in bush clearings. They also have passion fruit, coffee, sugarcane, which Hugh uses as a shelter, but he says there's no reason it couldn't be as a commercial crop, chirimoya, prickly pears, which make good cattle food, and pineapples.
Pineapples is going to be my commercial crop in 2 years' time. I'm still experimenting. It hasn't become a paying crop yet. It's going to be about a 9-year project, so because there's just no plants available.
That's what I was wondering. Yeah, where do you get the rootstock from, or whatever?
Yes, that has been the problem, being able to get that. Yeah, we sort of had to grow our own and get the take the suckers off and replant, and that's why we're having to do it in sections. We can't just go and put the whole lot under pineapples. We have to do little bits and over a couple of years. Yeah,
we're getting about 400 plants a year, locally sourced, but some were very small and they took 2 to 4 years to flower. So yeah, so it has taken a long time. Whereas last year, I put in. From 300 plants, I put in over 2,000 suckers, and so it's really starting to move from now on. But yeah, and I need about 20,000 plants per hectare
to be commercial.
To be commercial.
Those
were only
ones.
Put in September, and I'll probably have a crop. Yeah, last year September, so they're not even a year old. So, but they will probably produce now this by December.
Yeah. Are you surprised that there hasn't been more growing of some of these crops before now?
Yes, we are definitely surprised. I mean, people often tell us that they can grow them in their backyards, and we reckon, well, you know, if you can do that, it shows it does. They do. And, you know, we should have been producing bananas for New Zealand already, you know, long ago.
So we're pushing through some, lovely bush here, Linda, and you could see potential through the trees, could you, that you'd be able to,
Yes, definitely. We realised, you know, if you can cut out these microclimates, you form these microclimates for the bananas, it would be a perfect way of protecting it from the wind, and it's definitely worked.
Gorgeous, and the canopy is totara.
Yes,
and
tea tree,
yep, manuka. Oh, and Rimu. Oh, my goodness. And we've just walked through. I see what you mean. Hugh had to come, everybody, to see my reaction. We've just walked out of this native bush and we've now walked into a banana plantation.
You can see how the sun is shining in, you know. It's lovely and sheltered and protected from the...
A goldfinger bunch.
Yes.
Yep.
I'll just grab a photo of that. Hold on while we're here. And that's one of the best eating ones, is it?
We reckon, but everybody to their own, you know. A lot of people like the lady fingers.
This is a big gold finger bunch, yeah.
Oh, look. And what are these bushes here?
That's a cherimoya.
Oh, cherimoya. Right, and what have you done with the cherimoya?
Yes, we sell them on the market, on the growers market in town. It's like a custard.
Custard apple, of course.
Lovely taste.
And it was seeing this, though, was it, Hugh, that got you interested in growing bananas, seeing this particular plot here in the middle of the bush?
Yeah, I'd say not only got me interested, I've always been interested, I like the taste of bananas, but to actually grow a decent-sized banana in New Zealand, and that's how to do it, and this is how to do it. Owen's the man, you know. Yeah.
And you've got blue bags hanging over them.
Yep.
So the bags are just on for frost.
I was just going to say, if you see the branded tropical fruit growers bags, that's the faith we have in the industry. We've actually had our own bags made rather than import them.
Yes.
Well, that's quite a commitment. So, and I said, you know, I mean, you've got a branded shirt and things as well. So you've really gone all out, haven't you?
Oh yeah, yeah. In the case of the bags, they're there to provide protection, as Owen says, frost from sun, because bananas can actually get sunburned, and leaf damage. So, yeah, you can recycle them. You just reuse them. Keep reusing them until they fall apart.
And you're having to prop these trees up. Do they get pretty heavy, I guess? Yes. Do they? Yeah, by the end.
About 25 kgs to 30 kgs a bunch. Yeah,
and all the leaves on the ground, that's just how it mulches down.
Yes, we usually take the dry leaves off in like that one there. I should be taking off. Then you won't get any problems with disease or anything in your crop.
I just had the comment that this dry matter forms a very good ecosystem for the local lizard population. You come here on a warm day and it is a seething mass of lizards, native lizards, skinks and geckos. Yeah.
Previously I had the cricket eating my cherimoyas, their bark off, and now I've got no more crickets in there. Yeah, so the lizards are sorting them out.
Yeah.
That's terrific. And that would have been something you would have had no idea about, I guess, eh?
Yeah, that's right.
Ah, see a wee trap there. Yeah, what other pests like them? Possums? And possums, right.
Possums don't eat bananas? No, not bananas. But
cherimoyas. Cherimoyas. Oh, and rats like cherimoyas. Very nice.
September gets very busy. Everything.
Like picking,
attention. Yes.
Right, picking, covering the fruit, cutting off dead branches, all that maintenance.
Yeah, lots of replanting in September, October.
We've got a commitment for another 7,000 stems about to go in, so Owen and I will be digging them out to...
So taking them all off the bottom of some of these.
And elsewhere.
Right. Wow. 7,000, and where will they end up? All over the country?
All over New Zealand.
And this is what's so wonderful, is that people are really... getting interested through the tropical fruit growers. They've got interested, they're now all on board and they're wanting to plant, you know, put their own little blocks or farms under it.
Yeah, the thing is, the people who are planting, who planted last year, now their friends are wanting to plant too, so that's the momentum's there.
We yeah, we're sort of needing more plants.
Yep. And where are your coffee plants?
Oh, just up the hill.
They're on further, right.
I will pick up...
any of them.
And you'll just... I see, yes, as we push through a little bit more bush, but then you've got another clearing with another lot of bananas.
Oh, we've run out of space. We need a bigger farm now.
Oh, goodness me. And now we've just popped out, and these are your pineapples.
There's some plant. The queen is a table pineapple, and that's what we plan to grow. It's a little bit smaller than the...
A dessert pineapple.
It's a dessert pineapple, and smaller than your big, what we call a cayenne pineapple, which is a big bottling type of pineapple, canning pineapple.
Oh, canning pineapple. Canning pineapple. Right.
They're handling the frost, as you can see. They've been through the winter, and they're still looking quite good.
A mature pineapple plant will fruit around Christmas time, and then again in March through to June. And a hectare in full production, Owen says, should earn around $120,000. Oh, goodness me, look at all the berries on the coffee bushes. Now, again, I would have thought you needed sort of super hot...
Now, people say that you should have them in the shade, but you look at the shaded ones on the side, the ones in the middle are actually doing better than the shaded ones.
And is this your first lot of coffee on them?
I had a crop in December last year, but this is the second crop, and as you can see, they're really, really full.
This year we plan to actually do our own.
Okay, you'll dry them yourself.
We'll do them
and
ourselves.
Roast them yourself?
Yes.
Probably, yes.
Wow.
Yeah, we've got about 40 trees, and it was an experiment. So anybody that wants cuttings from me is welcome to come for cuttings. As long as I take from the upright ones, otherwise I'll have flat ones like this, and that's no good.
To that stage of
I've got about six varieties of coffee here.
Yeah. Yes.
So. Okay. So it's a matter of picking one that you will taste and grow.
Yes.
Because is anyone else growing coffee in New Zealand?
Up Northland, yes. There's somebody that's growing a couple here. That one down there.
That's the last time I was here, remember?
And like any good cropping story, one has to wander back towards the house where the produce can be sampled. It's not far away. The Shafleys have only 7 hectares. 4 is arable, the rest is protected with a QE2 covenant.
Sample some sugar cane and some pineapple.
Okay.
Hugh walking off with the one pineapple.
Their shelf life is 2-3 weeks. Yeah, so you can, but it's actually nicer to eat them when they're nice and fresh like this.
And yes, that pineapple was delicious, sweet and juicy. And we've got some photos of the banana plantations and the pineapples on our website.